We've been talking for some weeks now really about understanding how God's kingdom works and why it's so important, especially in times like these, for God's people to begin to shift in the way we view things, even what's happening in the economy, what's going on in our country with race relations. I mean, you name the subject, you name the topic, it's important for God's people to see that He has a different way that He wants His people to live. How many of you all believe that? Not that we won't go through trials and testings. I mean, those are things that are a part of this life. As Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, those that live under the sun. There are some things that we're just going to have to deal with by virtue of being human beings living in this fallen state in which our world is. But there are other things that God wants His people to learn how to transition from so that He can protect us and shield us and keep us even in the midst of the most trying and most difficult times. God has prepared a place of safety, a place of security for His people. The psalmist said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." There is a place where the people of God can run into and find safety and find security. In another place, he says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they are safe." God wants His people to know that He has carved out, He has prepared a place for us even in the midst of troubles, of trials, of danger, of testings. But we've got to trust Him, saints, to run into that place by faith and then to keep going on pursuing the call of God upon our lives. There is a purpose for each and every one of us. And as we learn to walk in our purpose, we need to know that God has prepared victory for every one of His children. Peter wrote Paul wrote in Ephesians, he says that there are works that God has foreordained that His people should walk in them. Meaning He's already mapped it out. He's already planned it. The Bible says He knows the end from the beginning, so He already knows how this thing is going to turn out. If God's people would just trust Him and get in step with what God is doing. So I want to share just a couple of passages of scripture this morning. We won't be very long, and we're going to head on out of here. Last week we wrapped up in, I think it was Genesis chapter 26. For those who were here, those who weren't here. And we saw how God directed Isaac not to go into Egypt during the time of famine, even though his father Abraham had previously gone through a severe famine. And when that time came, well, a couple of famines, he went down into Egypt. But this time God tells Isaac, "You will not go down into Egypt. But I'm going to bless you in this land. You're going to stay right here." It's in Genesis chapter 26 in Gerar. And I'm going to bless you right here. We saw what Isaac did and how because of Abimelech, he said that his wife was his sister. Guess he learned that from his father Abraham. And of course, finally, when Abimelech realized what Isaac had done, he said, "Listen, you go far from me. You leave this land. It's before you, but you've got to go from me. You can't stay here because in essence, you've deceived me." And then after that, it says that Isaac sowed in that land. And God gave him 100-fold in the same year. All right. He didn't go to Egypt like his father. He listened to the instructions that God gave him. And through God's instructions, he sowed right there. In time of famine, in time of lack, in times of shortage, in times of great difficulty, he trusted God. He obeyed God. And he sowed in that land. And God gave him 100 times a return on his investment, on his seed, in the same year. Now, you know, if you can get 5%, 8%, 10%, if you get 10% on an investment, 12%, man, you're doing pretty well. And a sustained return, because you know the stock market is like this. It goes up and it goes down. Some things are going up while some things are going down. So you can have investments, and it's believed that only about 40% of people even have any investments in the stock market. So for most of the people, they don't even have investments. Some people don't even have a savings account. Some people are really struggling, but if you've been fortunate enough to have investments, either your retirement fund or a mutual fund or some other things in your portfolio, still some things are going up, some things are coming down, and you just hope that as things average out, you're ahead of things over the long term. Isn't that what they tell you? They said, you can't watch this thing every day. Because you'll drive yourself crazy watching the volatility. But your hope is that over 20 years, over the long term, your investment has increased. It's been stable and you have some money at the end of this thing. But when God begins to instruct his people, he doesn't want us subject to the ebbs and flows, the ups and downs of the economy like most people are. He wants us to know that if we follow his instructions, he can lead us and direct us safely through. He can navigate us through life so that we're not winning and losing. We're winning. Yeah. We're not sometimes up, sometimes down. Oh, yes, Lord. Sometimes I'm level to the ground. Oh, I understand the song. I understand the things our forefathers went through. And sometimes they were up and sometimes they were down. But God wants his people to keep moving so that we don't have to be up and down, in and out, prosperous and depleted. But we can keep progressing in God. Remember, he told the covenant people, he says, I'm giving you a covenant of blessing where you will be the head and what? Not the tail. Above only and not beneath. You will be the lender and not the borrower. See, God's ideas for how he wants his people to live are different from how the world thinks. So he constantly says, listen, I want you to seek to do this thing my way. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things I will add unto you. I know how to take care of the lilies of the field. I know how to take care of the fowl of the air, and I know how to take care of you. How many believe that God knows how to take care of us if we trust him? We used to sing the song back in the day, be not dismayed. Whatever betides, God will take care of you. We need to know that's not just the song, that's the truth. And he wants his people to trust him. So anyway, Isaac believed God. He trusted God. He stayed in the place of famine where everybody else is trying to get out. God kept him there. And because of that, he prospered greatly. Prospered greatly. And I'll share this, then we'll move on quickly. We also said last week, we can't worry about what the economy is doing when we're on God's economy. People who understand the stock market and they understand the economy, they make money when it's a bull market. They make money when it's a bear market. They make money when when property goes down. In fact, they make more when things are down than they do when things are up, because they can buy stuff cheap. They can buy property, they can buy businesses, they can buy houses. They can buy stuff cheaper when things are depressed. So when there's a time of famine, folks are getting rid of stuff because they're in need. That's the time that people with money are buying up things. God wants his people to use wisdom. We can't keep going up and down and back and forth. We've got to be focused. We've got to be spirit-led. And we've got to operate in faith, even when everybody else is saying, no, I don't think you should do that. You know, this is the time to hold your money. No, you hold your money. I'm going to do what God tells me to do with mine. I'm going to say that again. Everybody telling you, no, I don't think you should be investing right now. No, you don't invest right now. I'm going to do what God tells me to do, because I know if I do what God says do, I'm going to be blessed. It doesn't matter what the economy is doing. God has a kingdom economy. Amen. So, I want you to turn with me, if you would, quickly to 2 Kings. We're going to look at four examples quickly. I'm not going to read them all. Then we're going to be done. God wants his people to understand that if we're going to live by kingdom principles, we're going to have to live by faith. We say it all the time. The just shall live by faith. But without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. If we're going to do this thing God's way, we've got to do it by trusting him. We've got to live by trusting God. And he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Meaning we're going to have to live by the word of God. We're going to have to live by the spirit of God leading us and directing us. So in 2 Kings chapter 4 is the first example that I want us to look at. Because God is teaching his people how to live supernaturally. See, folks, I don't know where you and I are financially. I don't know where we are in our health. I don't know where our marriages are. I don't know what's going on in us. But I do know that God is the answer. And that he has the solutions. And I also know that God is able to get me out of what I've gotten myself in quicker than it took me to get in it. In other words, I may be where I am now because of years of bad decisions. But God is able to turn this thing around overnight if necessary, in a moment if necessary. Now, the reason God doesn't always do things immediately is because he wants us to learn. He wants us to learn how to discipline ourselves. Man, God could fix everything that's wrong with every one of us like that. But if he did, most of us would be right back in the same condition, if not worse, in a short period of time. So he wants us to learn to trust him through the processes of life, through the journey, so that I can say, no, I'm not going to repeat this next time. When God gets me out this time, I'm not going back. When God delivers me this time, I'm not going back into bondage. When God breaks the chains this time, I'm going to live free. So he wants us to learn some things. So quickly, in 2 Kings chapter 4, we see a woman that was a wife of a prophet, one of the prophets of Elisha. And this woman's husband, who was a prophet, dies. And now she and her two sons are left in great debt. So much so that the debt collectors want to come and take her sons and put them into slavery so until the debts have been paid. And so what God says to her through the prophet, he comes and tells, she says, you know that my husband died. And you know, verse number 1, that your servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen. She has a great dilemma. She's in severe debt. And you know, like most people do, they wait. I don't know if she waited or not, but a lot of folks just wait till it's time for the house to go into foreclosure. They wait until, you know, they don't deal with it immediately. They wait 30 days, 60 days, 90 days until it's too late. Now they come and they want help. So the creditors have come now. It's too late to really negotiate this thing. You had some time, but you didn't do anything. I don't know if that's her situation, but that's a word to us. You know, if you know you got some credit issues, some problems, don't wait till it's time for them to come take your house, take your car, and then decide, oh, what I'm going to do. You know you got an issue, let's deal with this thing now before it gets that far. All right, I know I'm talking to somebody. I don't know who. Because, see, I know tomorrow somebody going to call a church. And they're going to need something. Yeah. And they're going to need it by 12 o'clock tomorrow. Yeah. They're going to need it by 12 o'clock tomorrow. Or they're going to cut off my lights. They're going to cut off my water if I don't have this money by 12 o'clock tomorrow or by the end of business day today. Some people woke up on that one, didn't they? Because you know that's how some people do. They've had all this time to try to work something out. They've had all this time to try to negotiate a payment plan. They've had all this time. Now they wait until the last minute, and I got to have it today at 12 o'clock or before in the day. So maybe this will help you. Handle your business. Handle your business. And let the Holy Spirit begin to direct us how. Bible says he can give you favor with God and with man. But if you got a nasty attitude and you fussing at the people, you owe them and you cussing them out. Huh? Wait a minute, you owe me and you mad at me. You owe me and you cussing me out. Like I did something wrong for asking you for my money. Okay. All right. I offended you by asking you to pay me my money. All right. So listen to what the prophet does. The prophet gives her an instruction. And the instruction that he gives her is this. He asked her the question, what you got in your house? What do you have? Because you got something to work with. Yeah. Need to hear this. You got something. It may not be enough to pay off the debt, but you've got something that I can submit to God to work with. And brothers and sisters, every one of us has something that God has given to us that if we will submit it to him, he can use that to bless us, to get us out of debt, to get us over, to turn things around if we will trust him with what we got. So this is what she says. What you got in your house? She says, got nothing in my house but a pot of oil. That's all I got. Pot of oil. Listen to the instruction. Verse 3, go. Borrow the vessels abroad of all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. Got a pot of oil. Didn't say whether it's a big pot, a little pot. She ain't got nothing in her house but a pot of oil. He says, go borrow some vessels. And don't borrow a few. Borrow as many as you can get. Go to all your neighbors. Borrow as many vessels as you can get. I thought God didn't want me to borrow. Oh, no. Borrowing is not necessarily a sin. It's just not the best place that God wants you to be. He says you'll be the lender and not the borrower. He would prefer us to be in the position of where we're able to lend and not have to borrow. But there are times that you may have to borrow. And in this case, she's instructed by the man of God to go borrow some vessels. Because I'm about to show you what to do with what you got. See, what some people do, they borrow, but they borrow for the wrong purposes. And then they're just deeper in debt. Where there are other people who borrow for better purposes. They borrow to start a business. They borrow, you know, to purchase something that they've deemed to be more valuable than what they're going to pay for. They borrow with the intention of progressing, of increasing through borrowing. Not going deeper in debt through borrowing. So here he says, borrow as many as you can get. All right, verse number 4. And when you come in, you shall shut the door upon you and your sons, and you shall pour out into all the vessels, and you shall set that which is full. So you take your pot of oil, whatever side it is, you take a vessel, you fill it up, set that one to the side, get another vessel, fill it up, set that one to the side, and keep doing that. Verse number 5. So she went from him, shut the door upon her and her sons, brought the vessels to her, and she did what? Poured out. Verse 6. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed or stopped. So listen, I don't know how big her pot of oil was. I don't know how many vessels she borrowed. But one thing the text said, as long as she had vessels, the oil kept filling them. It wasn't until she ran out of vessels that the oil stopped. In other words, this act of obedience to the man of God caused a supernatural thing to occur. As long as she had vessels, that oil kept filling them. Once the vessels were gone, the oil stopped. Why? Because God is a God of abundance. God is a God of extravagant. God can be extravagant. If you look in the Word, you see the things He built, the instructions He gave, they were extravagant. But God is never wasteful. As long as she had the capacity, God kept filling. But once her capacity stopped, the oil stopped, because God is not a wasteful God. Now, what did He tell her to do with it? Verse number 5. Verse number 7. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, pay your debt, live thou and thy children of the rest. Folks, God did this supernaturally. Amen. She thought she didn't have anything in her home, because she was looking at the debt. And she was valuing what she had. And to her, nothing of value here. It's not enough to pay my debt. But God says, no, you've got what you need. If you submit it to me, I will bless it. What am I saying this morning? God wants us to learn how to live supernaturally. He doesn't want us limited by how things look. He doesn't want you limited by what you think you have or don't have. He just wants somebody that's going to obey Him with what you got. It could be oil. It could be money. It could be gifts and talents and abilities. Whatever it is that God has given us, there will come a time that He will say, take an inventory of what you got, and then submit to my plan, to my process, what you got. And if you will do that, I will take the little that you think you have, I will bless it, and then as you obey me, you'll be able to keep paying off those bills and getting out of that debt and working things out until you look up and it's gone. But it calls for a mindset shift. I can't take the little bit that I got and say, well, I ain't got nothing. I might as well go buy me another drink. Amen. I ain't got enough to pay my bill. Well, at least I can go have some fun. Let me go to the club. Ain't got enough to pay my bills. Let me go buy me a new sofa. Might as well give me a new pocketbook. Yeah. I can't pay my bill anyway. No, we can't think like that. We've got to realize that God is able to get me out of debt if I take what I have and say, this is what I got, God. I submit it to you, and let Him bless it. and give us a plan. Isn't that what Jesus did with those two fish and those few loaves of bread? You got all these people that got to eat. And he says, go find out what they got. He said, all we got is two fish and a few loaves of bread, five loaves. But what are these upon so many? He said, make the people sit down. They brought it to him and he blessed it. And once he blessed it, he said, now you take it and distribute it to the people. And they fed everybody, women, men, and children, and collected 12 baskets full of what was left over. That's how God works. He wants his people to learn how to live by faith and how to live supernaturally. And when you learn that way, you see, so what folks think is if I start doing that, then, you know, I'm going to mess up stuff and I'm not going to be disciplined. No, when you've got to learn how to live by faith, you get disciplined in a hurry. See, the common thinking is that it's the other way around. You know, people that know that God's going to provide supernaturally, they don't take any precautions. They just throw caution to the wind. No, those people got to learn how to live by faith. Because God says, I'm going to give you this day your daily bread. You're going to have to trust me today for what you're going to need today. And then when tomorrow comes, you're going to have to trust me today for what you're going to need today. Then the next day comes, you have to trust me today. You can't afford to be undisciplined. No, you got to be focused, got to be disciplined, because my life depends on me doing what God directs me to do, or else I might not eat today. But I know I'm going to eat today because God promised to provide for me. So I've got to learn to listen and to be led by him. So you're not going to be undisciplined. No, you're going to become more disciplined. Amen. You're not going to be wasteful. We're going to become better stewards of what God has given us. Because I realize the decisions I make are not just going to affect me, but they're going to affect my entire household and everybody else that's connected to me. Are you with me? So give me a couple of more minutes and we're going to wrap up. Turn over to chapter 6, same book. 2 Kings chapter 6. Now look, here are the prophets of Elisha. And the prophets of Elisha recognized, see, when you're prophetic, and all of God's people are a prophetic people, meaning God is revealing things to us, and we've got to be able to see them in the spirit and then agree with God to work those things out in the natural. Yeah. So everybody does not operate in the office of the prophet, but every believer is prophetic because God is revealing. He gives you discernment. He shows you things. He reveals things to us, and he wants us to live by that. So check this out real quick. The prophets, verse number 1, behold, Elisha, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. The prophets recognized where they were was too small. Well, y'all need to get that. The prophets recognized that where we are is too small for us. I wonder how many of us as God's prophetic people begin to recognize that where I am might be too small for me. I'm not talking about materially necessarily. I'm talking about even spiritually. Where I am may be too small for me. Yeah. This job that I'm in, God may have something bigger for me. Yeah. This relationship that I'm in, it might be too small for me now. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying leave your husband, leave your wife. I ain't saying that. Not saying that. But everybody in here ain't married. But a whole lot of people in here in relationships. That relationship might be too small for you. The status of that relationship may be too small for you. As a son of God, as a daughter of God. Because God wants you in the covenant of marriage and you might just be living together. It may be too small for you. That's not what God wants for you. He wants to make room for you. Well, That's something to think about. Let us go, we pray, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go. See, this place is too small for us, but let us go do something about it. Let us go build something bigger. See, the Bible says that God, it says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that works in us. Huh? Why are we believing God for small things when everything belongs to God and there is nothing too hard for God? He wants to enlarge us. Folks always quoting that prayer of Jabez, enlarge my territory. Huh? He wants to enlarge our influence. He wants to enlarge our sphere of influence. He wants to enlarge us, folks. Stop thinking small. Stop limiting God. The prophet sees this place ain't big enough for us anymore. Let us build us a place. Okay, we're going to go get some logs. We're going to build this place. And verse number three. And one said, be content, I pray thee. Go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. Verse number four. So he went with them. When they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. So he's cutting this beam and he's working on this building and the axe head falls in the water and then he cries, alas, master, the axe head fell into the water and it was borrowed. See, he borrowed this thing to work on something. He borrowed the axe head so that he could work on a larger place. He borrowed the axe head so that they could expand their territory and their reach and their influence. But because it's borrowed, he's in debt. And now the axe head has fallen in the water. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Listen to the man of God. The man of God gets a stick. He said, where did it fall? Where did it fall? He took him where it fell. He cut down a stick, threw the stick in where the axe head fell, and the Bible says the axe head began to swim. The axe head began to swim. Supernatural manifestations. When we live by faith in God. This doesn't happen. That this axe head that sunk, now just throwing a stick in, it doesn't make sense. Doesn't have to make sense. That's right. It makes faith. It makes trusting God. And you can tell it over and over again. And most people will say, oh, you lied. You lying. Ain't no axe head floating. Man, you lying. No, the Bible says, and the word of God is true, that this axe head, whatever it was made out of brass or whatever it was made of, iron, it floated once the man of God threw in a stick. But that doesn't make sense. Saints, it doesn't have to. God does things that can confound the wise. God does things that can make the wise people scratch their head. Say, how in the world did that happen? It defies the laws of gravity. It defies the laws of nature. But God holds all of it in his hand. He holds it all in his. If God can make the sun stand still for you to get a victory, if he has to do that, he can do it. If God can turn back the sundial, if he needs to, he can do it. If God can cause a man to walk on water, he'll do it. Whatever God needs to do, God is able. I said God is able to do the supernatural, to do the miraculous, to do the amazing. Because he's God all by himself. Any witnesses in here today? What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Last one. He says, okay, get the axe head, take it up, and put it in his hand. Gave it to him. Last one. I'm going to let you go home. Same book, chapter 7. Then we're going home. See, God is not restricted in what he can do. Yes, there are spiritual laws, but God is still able, when necessary, to override them because he's God and he's the one who instituted them. He's just looking for some people that's going to live by faith, people that's going to trust him. So this is the last one. Verse chapter number 7. So here's Elijah. Now, the children of Israel, they've been attacked by Samaria, the king of the Samaritans, and so on. And they've been in bondage, and they've been going through some difficult times. Elijah had already spared his life by giving him information, inside information. Now, here the king is going to come against the king of Israel. And Elijah tells the king of Israel, previous chapter, what the king was plotting. And so the king calls his servants and said, who told that prophet what I've been talking about? And the man said, nobody told him, but while you're in your chamber discussing these things, he sees it. See, God is able to reveal to us even that information that people think they are plotting against you in secret. Those schemes that people are working against you in secret, God is able to let you know what their plans are. So now, quickly, he tells them it's another famine. You notice there's a lot of famines going on, huh? But that's where they are. They're in that region. But folks, we have famines in this country. We have spiritual famines that people are starving and thirsting for the word of God, for the living Christ. We have financial crises. I mean, people in major cities all over this country sleeping in the streets, sleeping under cardboard boxes, sleeping under bridges in the United States of America. So don't think that these things are relegated to some third world countries. These things are happening all over the world, where you have rich and wealthy and powerful and people with plenty of money and resources, and you still have people that have little or nothing, that are struggling. It should not be that way, but when you're living in a fallen world, those are the consequences. But God has given his people a better way. We're just about done. Here Elijah hears these things. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Elijah says, tomorrow, about this time, shall a measure of fine flour sell for a shekel. All right. And two measures of barley shall sell for a shekel in the gate at Samaria. Now they're in great famine. They're in severe famine. And here's what happens. One of the men of the king of Samaria says, that ain't going to happen. Even if your God opens up the windows of heaven, that ain't going to happen. Elisha says, it will happen. You will see it, but you won't partake of it. You'll see it, but you won't partake of this. See, we can't be speaking against the things of God. We got to be careful. When God starts working and moving, that we're not speaking against the move of the Spirit just because I don't understand it. Sometimes I just need to get somewhere and sit down and be quiet and ask God to reveal it to me. Give me understanding, because I don't want to be working against you. I don't want to be moving against you. I don't want to put my mouth on something negatively that you're doing in the earth. If I don't understand it, God, give me understanding. Open my understanding. But I certainly don't want to be speaking against you. So he said, okay, so you're going on. I'm not going to go through the whole thing because of the length of time. But it says there was a great famine there. Here are these four lepers. These four lepers, they're going into the camp of the Assyrians. They said, listen, we're going to die anyway. So we're just going into this camp and hopefully they'll spare us alive. But if not, so we're going to die anyway. So why not take a chance? Why not take a chance? It's a severe famine. We got leprosy. You know, we're already outcast. We might as well take a chance. So they go into the city. They get their nerve up. Finally, they get into the city and they find out the camp, into the camp, is empty. The camp is empty, and the Bible says that the Assyrians heard this noise of chariots. Yeah. And as they heard this great noise of a great host, it says that they fled. They said the king of Israel must have hired some people to come out against us, the Hittites or the Egyptians. I know that little ragtag army, they couldn't handle us. They must have hired some people, some mercenaries to fight for them. And it says they fled and left everything. They left their clothes. They left their food. They left their provision. They left gold. They left silver. They left everything. So these four lepers coming, oh man, it's pretty nice here. We got the run of the camp. Hey, we ain't never lived like this. They ate all they want. They drank everything they want. Then one of them realized, man, this ain't right. this ain't right. We shouldn't be living lavishly like this while everybody else is suffering. You know, some people are like that. Give me all I can get and you just get the best you can get. But God expects his people to share one with another. So they decide, let's go tell the king of our fortunes that we've happened upon. They tell the king. King ain't too sure. He said, okay, I'm going to send somebody just to check this thing out. Sends the man. He checks it out. Goes back, tell the king, yes, sir. It's just like they said. I'm paraphrasing. It's just like they said. So they went and gathered and collected all this stuff. And the end of the story is that on tomorrow, the next day, a fine flour sold for a shekel. And two of barley sold for a shekel, just like the man of God said. And that one who spoke against it got trampled in the process. He saw it happen, but he didn't enjoy it. Brothers and sisters, don't watch God move all around you, and because you won't believe God, you get left out of the move. I'm not going to get left out of this move of God. I'm going to be right in the middle of what God is doing in this hour. I'm not going to be the one criticizing everything. Seeing people get blessed and I'm still criticizing. Seeing folks get healed and I'm still criticizing. Seeing folks come out of debt and I'm still criticizing the move. But no, I'm going to be right in there with my name on the roll. I'm going to get everything that God has for me to get. Every blessing, every breakthrough, every deliverance, every triumph, every wave of God, I'm going to be right in the midst of it. Anybody here, you going to get yours? Tell somebody, I'm going to get mine. I'm going to get mine. I'm not greedy. I'm not selfish. But I'm going to get mine. Because if I get mine, I can bless my family. If I get mine, I can bless my church. If I get mine, I can bless my neighbors. If I get mine, I can bless my community. If I get mine, I can bless my state. If I get mine, I can bless people all over the world. I am going to believe God. I'm going to trust God. And I'm going to do what God tells me to do. Anybody ready to do what God tells you to do? God is still working miracles. God is still working miracles. God is still making ways out of no way. God is still turning lives around. God is still healing the sick. God is still raising the dead. God is still opening blinded eyes. God is still moving heaven and earth to bless his people.
Don't give up on God. Don't give up on God. Cause he won't give up on you. He's able. How many know he's able? Come on, put those hands together. Come on, he's able. He's able. Come on, praise him where you at. What's the word? He's able. Oh, oh, oh. He's able. Will anybody say God is able this morning? Don't give up on God.
Don't give up on God.
Cause he won't.
He won't.
God is able to do what he said he would do.
Then we'll pray and be dismissed.
He's able. Oh, yes, he is. He's able. Oh, oh, he's able. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you. Don't give up on God.
Isn't it great to know that